Our second scripture this morning comes from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 29. It will be familiar to you and for most of us. Reading verse 1, skipping to verses 4 through 7, and then 11 through 14, a selection of God's word to us from and through the prophet Jeremiah. So I invite you to listen for any words or phrases or images that might stand out for you or for this congregation or for our neighborhood or our community. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Make sure I'm skipping to the right place. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. Skipping on to verse 11. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. I will let you find me, says the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. May God bless our hearing and our receiving of these holy words. Now, were there any particular words or phrases that stood out for you all? Shannon. For I know the plans I have for you. Aren't those comforting words? Hearing from God. Chuck. Seek the welfare of the city. Yeah, a surprising word, I think, for people in exile. And now, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Well, a man was standing on the curb when a boy ran by. 5 minutes later, the boy rushed by again. After this happened half a dozen times, the man stopped him and asked, "What's the idea, son? What's the rush?" The boy looked up very indignant. Indignantly, easy for me to say, and shouted, "I'm running away from home." "Oh," said the man, "but you've gone around the same block at least 5 times. "I know it," shouted the boy over his shoulder as he started running again. "My mom won't let me cross the street." So, Sunday morning, August the 3rd, what are you running away from? Most of us run away from something, don't we? We're all afraid of something, but hopefully not everything that the media or politicians or anybody else tell us to be afraid of. And hopefully not anything as scary as an invasion by the Babylonians, like the people of Israel feared in Jeremiah's time. You know the story, the big story. From the beginning of Moses' journey, leading the chosen people out of slavery in Egypt, the people complained. God responded to their complaints. Hello, Luther. Good to see you made it through the fire. Yes, we were praying for you. Yeah. The people asked for a God that they could see. And Aaron, Moses' brother, built them a golden calf to worship instead of God. Even upon being given the promised land, previously occupied by the Palestinians, the people soon got comfortable, proud of their own accomplishments, and still ready to seek other gods instead of the God who saved them from slavery in Egypt. When the people chose other gods and served their own greed rather than God's instructions, well, God just let them have the ramifications of their turning away from God's instructions for safety and prosperity. And soon, foreign armies desired the promised Holy Land and attacked, surrounded their cities, burned the temple that Solomon had built, and took the leading people into exile in faraway countries. And what was the people's response? To turn back to God? Not in the days of Jeremiah, the prophet. Their response was to ignore their own sin against God and God's punishment, and to ignore God's direction and their need for God, and instead to revolt against the powers of Babylon. Of course, there were plenty of false prophets who told the people what they wanted to hear. The problem wasn't their sin, their own separation from God, but these Babylonian enemies, who were actually doing God's work according to Jeremiah. How similar our so-called prophets are today, telling us the enemy is really those liberals. No, it's really those conservatives. No, it's really big business. No, it's those Muslims. No, it's really those freeloaders. No, it's the immigrants. No, it's really the criminals and the druggies. It really is the youth of today. Or really their parents. The enemy is always everybody else but me. Everything else but my own sin, especially anyone who lives or acts differently than myself. We feel like we are exiles. Like we are refugees held against our will in this strange land called today's world. Doesn't it feel like we're constantly running from something, avoiding someone, protecting our family or loved ones against some foreign power? And doesn't it feel like we're not allowed to cross the street? We feel powerless. Unable to get away, defenseless, yet we keep running away from God's direction. So, poll question, how many feel powerless at times in the face of so many forces that seem to be working against us? Anybody feel that way? It's hard not to. The prophet Jeremiah struggled. He stood alone against those false prophets who were pointing out the easy enemies to identify, those who give easy answers, Let's return from exile and to those days gone by, to turn the people every which way except back to God. And Jeremiah stood and spoke up for God. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Here's the surprise, if you didn't catch it before. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. What a shocking message for the people of Israel. Don't run from your enemies. Don't run from your fears. Don't fight against your enemies. Don't isolate yourself from this modern world. Do not look outside yourself for someone to blame, but also don't make yourself the center of your own universe either. Yes, we are living in exile. You're not living in the same world you grew up in. We're not worshiping in the same church that we were in 1957 when we moved into this building from our original location on White Avenue. In this new world of our exile from the past, we are called to build houses, plant gardens, and eat what they produce. In other words, we are called to find life, abundant life, life filled with life, right here in the midst of this exile where we live. We are to live life and create life. We are to bloom where God has planted us. That's one of Shannon's favorite quotes. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Multiply here and do not decrease. Stop fighting. Stop running from every enemy in sight, but seek the welfare of this neighborhood where God has planted us, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. That's not the normal way of thinking. The normal question is, has God forgotten us? Has God abandoned us? A lot of people ask that question because the past they remember as the good life is gone in many ways. So people feel like exiled people in a foreign land. How can a loving God allow this to happen? How can God's people allow this to happen? Has God abandoned us? Is there no hope? But the prophet Jeremiah reminds the people living in exile in Babylonia, fierce warriors of Babylonian, a scary place to live. He reminds them where their hope lies, in their God who will never turn away from them, never abandon them, even when they turn away from God. They know their history. God is certainly with us today, right here in this church, in this neighborhood, in this community, and God is still telling us that we will find our welfare when we seek the welfare of our neighborhood. Perhaps this modern generation as well. When we quit running away from all our so-called enemies, God does promise better days are coming. This feeling of exile will end, maybe not before we live with the consequences of our own sin or lack of faith, our turning away from God and God's people, but there will be new life, abundant life. God promises better days. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call on me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. Good news. God has a future waiting for us. Waiting a future of blessings for First Christian Church. A future of blessings for each one of us. If we will only seek God with all our hearts. The church in America has played it safe for a long time. We've identified the enemy all around us and barricaded ourselves in our safe sanctuaries. We've run away from our fears and anxieties. As Christians, as disciples, we are called to hit the ground running with each new day that God gives us. Instead, we tend to hit the ground feeling like we're being chased too often. We forget that God loves us all the time, and we forget to reciprocate. Loving God isn't just a warm, fuzzy feeling. Real love is a verb, an action. And we say we're grateful to God for His love and God's blessings. But real gratitude is not just a feeling. Gratitude also is a verb, an action. It is thanking God with service, with a tithe, a pledge, giving back to God and God's church the first fruits of what God has given us. It is living your life in response to God's abundance, not in fear of the world's perceived scarcity. So are you running away from your fears today? Are you being chased by your anxieties? Are you hiding from taking risks in this modern world, in this neighborhood where God has placed this church? Or are you running toward life? Are you running toward God and with God? Are you running toward the blessings and abundant life that God promises, God is offering when we practice real love and real gratitude and real hospitality right here in this neighborhood and beyond? So this morning, are you running with God? So a take-home suggestion is, what are some things you or we could do still in the end of this summer to make a better neighborhood, community, which just might be a benefit to us as well? Where can we work for the good of our neighborhood? Will you pray with me? Blessed God, we are so blessed. We come today singing songs of praise, lifting up our prayers, thanking you for the joys and putting our concerns and fears and anxieties in your hands so we don't have to run from them. We pray, O God, that you would lead us forward. Fill us with hope, with the desire to help you to build this future that you have in store for us, to walk with you, to continue serving your people, serving you, singing your praises, walking in the light of your love. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.